Today's programs are sponsored by Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis. This two-year, 24/7 discipleship process challenges students to allow God to take hold of their hearts through the daily, in-depth study of God's Word, servant leadership, local ministry, and international mission experience. You may contact Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis by calling 317-823-2349. Thanks to Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis for their support of Christian Radio.
CCBCI at ccbci.org.
Why, as Christians, would you celebrate a death of a person? The reality is because we know Sunday's coming. Amen? Yeah. Sunday's coming.
Welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
Like sheep, we have gone astray. We have turned to our own way. So, God laid the sins of mankind upon His one and only Son. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crucified for our sins. He was afflicted with all our pain and suffering. And that affliction, it brought us peace. And those words, they made us whole. That's what we celebrate today on Good Friday. Somebody came in and was talking about their mom. They were trying to find a place to go on Good Friday, but they were looking up Black Friday. And they couldn't find a place to go for Black Friday. And I thought, isn't that appropriate? Some look at, not that that woman did, she had made a mistake, but some people look at it that way. Why, as Christians, would you celebrate a death of a person? The reality is because we know Sunday's coming. Amen? Yeah. Sunday's coming. God, our Savior, came to this earth 2,000 years ago, that we could be set free, that we could live forever and ever, and that the innocent died for the guilty. In this area of Scripture, we're just going to begin in verse 13 of chapter 52. We see the Savior came for four very specific purposes. Join with me, please, in verse 13. Through verse 15. He says, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So he sprinkled many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him. For what had not been told them, they shall see. And what they had not heard, they shall consider." Today we're considering. Today we're hearing those things that back in those days they had not heard. This messianic prophecy is an amazing thing. Four very specific purposes. The first one is God's servant, the Savior, came to deal prudently. That was the purpose why he came. In other words, to live wisely. And that's what Jesus did. Live wisely means that he came to carry out God's will on the earth. That was his sole purpose. In John chapter 6, verse 38, it says, "For I," the words of Jesus, "for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." That was his mission. That's what's revealed here. Hundreds of years before Jesus came to planet Earth. There we see, and we have to ask ourselves a question, would we be wise to follow his example? And I believe we would. May we cry out today, not our will, but his will be done. But we must ask the question here, is this what we are doing with our lives today? Do we get up each morning, as it says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that and offer our lives as living sacrifices? Lives that have been made today, if you are Christians, holy and acceptable to the Father. And we would do that because it's our act of worship to God. And that we would not be conformed to this world, but we would be transformed by the renewing of our mind into that good and acceptable and perfect will that He has for you and I in our lives today and for tomorrow. Do we surrender our lives to Him? I pray that we do, because there is nothing like it when we do. The second purpose that we see in these verses here, God's servant, the Savior, came to be highly exalted and lifted up. Extolled, exalted, to be very high, it says there in Scripture. This speaks of repetition. This use of repetition develops a common theme, which means to be placed on high or raised to a place of honor. Today, as we sing the songs that we have sung, as we take communion, our desire is to raise Jesus high above and to honor His name, to bring glory to Him in a very special way. The third reason that we see in these short verses here of why Jesus came, God's servant, the Savior, Jesus, was sent to suffer and die for our transgressions and our iniquities. In other words, to be crucified. It is an amazing thing that we believe, that God Himself came. That God loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son. That He came to this earth approximately 2,000 years ago. That we would not have to die. That we could live forever and ever and ever. It's a strange but yet wonderful thing that we believe today. Scripture says in Luke chapter 22, and the men that held Jesus mocked Him and smote Him. And when they had blindfolded Him, they shut him on the face and asked Him, saying, prophesy. Struck Him on the face and asked Him, saying, prophesy, who is it that smote you? And He knew. He knew everything about that person that just smote Him. He knew about their childhood. He knew about their teenage years. He knew everything about their life. He could have recited that to them right there at that point. Scripture goes on and says, and many other things they spoke against Him. I love Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6. It says this, I gave my back. Notice, it's freedom of choice that God Himself, Jesus, the Messiah, that I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. That's what He's done for you and I. The fourth purpose of why Jesus came, God's servant, the Savior, came to sprinkle or cleanse and redeem many people in many nations. Sprinkle refers to the sacrificial blood of animals that had to be shed and sprinkled on the altar for the forgiveness of sins. Before Christ came, the blood of the sacrificial animals brought atonement and reconciliation between the worshipers and God. But now, since the coming of Christ, atonement for sin is secured through the shedding of His, Jesus' blood. And through His blood, many people in many nations are being redeemed, cleansed from their sins. Oh, that everyone on this planet would give their heart to Jesus Christ. Amen? All of our family, all of our friends, all of our neighbors, all of the people we work with, all of the people that we go to school, oh, that they would come to the truth that is found here in Scripture. Again, hundreds and hundreds of years prior to the coming of Jesus, these Scriptures were written. Psalm 22 was written that is a perfect description. If you were observing the cross there, you would see the crucifixion right before your very eyes. God didn't keep people without understanding. Today, do we believe? And today is your sins cleansed through the blood of Jesus Christ. I love Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. It says, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Is that not amazing? We could not have thought up the way of salvation. It's only by God that one would die, that all could live if they would only accept Him. And then very briefly, but very briefly, we're going to go through chapter 53 here, just quickly. Verses 1 through 3, we see Jesus suffered rejection. Who has believed our report? It starts out in verse 1. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? The power of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up, speaking of Christ, before him as a tender plant, there a young sprout, as a root out of dry ground, parched ground. He has no form or comeliness. He does not. He didn't come as a king, an earthly king. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. We rejected him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. There we see Jesus is suffering, but yet his rejection. In verses 4 through 6, we see Jesus suffered for the penalty of sin. It gets very specific of why he came and suffered. Surely, verse 4, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we counted him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded or pierced for our transgressions. He was bruised or crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Is God good? He truly is. That's why we celebrate Good Friday. That's why we call it Good Friday, because we see what he's done for us and we look to the resurrection come Sunday. It's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Here in Isaiah chapter 53, then we see Jesus suffered willingly but unjustly. He was the sinless Son of God. Look at verses 7 through 9. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He could have spoken, and the people that were crucifying him, he could have spoken, and they would have ceased to exist. He had the power to do that. But if he had done that, then we wouldn't have been free today. Verse 8, it goes on, he was taken from prison and from judgment. In other words, by a perversion of judgment or justice, he was taken. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. For our sins. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. Because, or although, he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Totally innocent as we know today, but he went to that cross for you and I, that we could be set free. And then verses 10 through 12, we'll end this section of Scripture here by looking at the result of the Savior's suffering. Yet it pleased the Lord. Notice, it pleased the Lord to bruise or to crush him. He has put him to grief, to suffering. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. Christ is eternal. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his, God's knowledge, my righteous Savior shall justify many. He will make many, those that will give their lives to him, they will become righteous in the eyes of a holy God. For he shall bear their iniquities. That's what he's done for you and I. Therefore, I will divide, Scripture says, I will grant him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. And notice, he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Anybody say praise the Lord? He's done that for you and I. And I know that we know this. And I know that we celebrate this evening. But we must be reminded how good he is and how much he loves each and every one of us. The depth of Christ's sufferings can be seen in three facts. Number one, in coming to earth, Christ set aside all glory. He set aside all worship from those in heaven and service given him by the host of heaven itself, all which he had always had. He was God, the third person of the triune God that came out of heaven. He was worshiped in heaven, but he set all of that aside to come and to come here to die to set us free. Philippians chapter 2 says this, for being in the form of God, being God himself, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He didn't hold on to his position in heaven, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Isn't that an amazing reality? He became one of us so he could die so that we could be set free. He who was innocent, sinless, died for you and I. There's a second fact that we can see about his suffering. In coming to earth, Christ bore all the temptations and trials of the human flesh, as well as the mockery, hostility, and rejection of sinful people. Scripture tells us he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, unto his own, and his own received him not. He came, but yet they refused him. Today, still, people are rejecting him. Today, we will be mocked as people that believe in Christ. Today, he's still not accepted by every person, but it says in the Bible that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And our prayer should be, we here in this fellowship, if you're visiting, we've been praying for now a year and 3 months, going on 4 months for a revival. That God would come and revive us. Revive us in prayer. Revive us in praise. Revive us in purity. Revive us that we would have a heart for the unsaved. Revive us that we would stand upon the principles of the Word of God. We've been praying for that. And I pray that God visits us in a way. And it's not just in this wall. If he wants to bring it to somebody else first, let him bring it. I just want to taste it. I want to be part of it, don't you? That he would revive us. That he would speak to us and that we would see a giant outpouring of his Spirit upon this earth. That we would see thousands upon thousands of coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. In coming to earth, Christ took the sins of the entire human race upon himself and died for those sins, suffering the rejection of God and God's judgment upon them. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. There's two teams going out on Monday from the Bible College that is here. One will be going to Myanmar. The other one will be going to Spain. They're going to encourage the Christians, but they're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to a world that has not heard about him. I remember many years ago, I was in Thailand. We were walking down a street. We heard a little commotion as we were walking by this avenue there that was there, this alley that was there. And so we walked back in there and we looked, and here was this young, probably 11-year-old person that lived on the street. He was a boy. And we had an interpreter with us. And so we began talking to him and everything. And we mentioned the name of Jesus. And it startled me because it was new to me. He said, who is Jesus? And he was sincere. Never heard the name of Jesus. And then two Americans with an interpreter were able to tell him about the truth. He didn't pray at that point, but I pray that he gave his heart to Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it says, for Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. God's very own Son, Jesus, has died as the perfect offering, the substitute sacrifice for the sins of the entire world. Let's just review basically some of the things that we've seen in these chapters here, these verses that we looked at. He bore our griefs and sorrows. He was wounded for our transgression and bruised for our iniquities. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter to be offered to God as a substitute sacrifice. He was stricken for the transgression of God's people. God made his soul an offering for sin. He bore their iniquities. He bore the sins of many. Jesus loves us, doesn't he? This I know. Remember that old song? It is vital for us to realize that we are to share in his suffering, though. The Bible talks about that, for there is no other way. He came to die that we might live, but we must die to self that we can live. In Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17, it says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. There is that aspect of being a Christian. We must surrender our lives. In 2 Corinthians 1:7, it says, and our hope for you is steadfast because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the comfort. Through death comes life for all of mankind. But individually, through death to self, comes life for us individually. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, the word says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death. I don't know about you. I like the power of the resurrection, don't you? I really do. That other part and the fellowship of his sufferings, I could bypass that one. But there is no other way. We must come to that point. If any here today have not come to that point to die to your pride, to die to yourself, and to come to that place by faith to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we're going to allow an opportunity to do that. If you would like to do that as we take communion today. There are benefits of suffering along with Christ. Peter spoke of those. He says, but may the God of all peace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, listen to what he says, that we would be perfected, we would be established, we would be strengthened, and that he would settle us. What must we do to receive his benefits? Go with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Makes it very simple before we take communion here. As we know, Jesus said in John chapter 3, speaking to Nicodemus, Nicodemus came, what must I do to receive eternal life? And Jesus said to him, you must be born again. Nicodemus was confused because he saw on the earthly way of looking things, on the earthly level. And he says, how can a man go back into his womb, his mother's womb? And Jesus said, no. I'm talking about a spiritual rebirth. We must be born again spiritually. Why? Because Adam and Eve died there, the instant that they rebelled against God in a true spiritual sense, doomed to a physical death like you and I. But there in the garden, they sinned and rebelled against God. They died a spiritual death. They gave birth to children who were born in rebellion to God in the sense that they were spiritually separated from God. And that's how we were born into this earth. So we must be born again spiritually. And beginning in verse 8 of Romans chapter 10, Paul tells us how to be born again. In verse 8 it says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. It's a word that we must receive by faith. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This we preach. And notice in verse 9 he says, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Today, by a show of hands, tonight, how many believe that? Look at that. We believe that. We're still a minority on this earth, though. He goes on and he says in verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. And I love verse 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord, what does it say? Shall be saved. Saved from what? From death. Saved from what? Our sins. Saved from destruction. Anyone that calls upon the Lord just simply comes to him by faith and acknowledges him and just confesses that, Lord, I've sinned against you. And then we ask, God, forgive me of all my sins. I surrender my life. I invite you to come into my life. I receive you today as my Lord and Savior, but I die to myself and I receive you and I thank you for your eternal life. And so it's a wonderful message that we have. Amen. Today we celebrate Good Friday. Sunday, we're going to talk about the resurrection and how wonderful that is.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word. Journey.